Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable, where we speak about issues affecting women. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on the Women's Roundtable, we're discussing the fight against gender-based violence being done by women's rights groups and the government. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. President-elect Donald Trump's pledge to carry out the largest deportations in U.S. history raises questions about its feasibility and its legality. VOA's immigration correspondent Aline Barossa reports on how the U.S. military may be involved in those plans.
During his presidential campaign, Donald Trump said the worst of America's problems is illegal immigration.
We're going to have the largest deportation in history. I'm not proud to say that either, but it's a tough thing to do.
Since winning the election, Trump has shared a social media post saying he would declare a national emergency and deploy U.S. troops to help with those deportations. How the U.S. military might be used to carry out this promise of mass deportations is unclear, says New York University law professor Joseph Nunn.
It really depends on what exactly the president is contemplating in terms of how he wants to use the military, whether he wants the military directly participating in law enforcement or providing more indirect support to a federal deportation operation.
Incoming border czar Tom Holman is planning a more aggressive approach, emphasizing deportation operations and increased military involvement.
We'll have massive deportation operations, and we're going to try to find over 300,000 children that were reached by this administration.
Holman cites a Homeland Security report showing over 32,000 unaccompanied minors missed court dates, while more than 290,000 received no notice. Immigration experts argue this does not necessarily mean that they're missing. Some may still be at their listed addresses.
Mass deportation is not the only option. Congress could instead create a new path to permanent legal status, allowing many people already living here to file an application, go through a background check, pay a fee, and get their papers in order.
The Senate Judiciary Committee this week discussed the challenges of mass deportations, with Democrats saying it could hurt the economy.
The fact is, there are millions of undocumented immigrants living in the United States today who are working in industries critical to our entire economy.
And Republicans emphasizing rule of law.
We will follow through on the orders of removal by immigration courts. And again, we will not accept lawlessness and criminality in the United States as the new normal.
Federal laws limit military involvement in civilian law enforcement without congressional approval. But non-emergency powers would allow the president to deploy troops to provide logistical support. Some experts say soldiers lack training for immigration enforcement.
Every service member who gets pulled into a domestic mass deportation operation is a service member who isn't doing their normal job and isn't fulfilling their ordinary national security role.
The state of Texas is offering the incoming Trump administration more than 550 hectares to build a processing and detention facility for what the state's land commissioner says will be, quote, the largest deportation of violent criminals in our nation's history. Aline Barros, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Aline. Let's now take you to Malawi, where a new initiative is reshaping the lives of smallholder farmers and students in Malawi. The homegrown school feeding program championed by the UN World Food Program is bridging the gap between agriculture and public primary schools, resulting in improved nutrition for students and economic empowerment for farmers. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Pirani Nkwate is a small-scale farmer in the Zumba district of southern Malawi. She says that about 5 years ago, she started making more money selling her crops directly to her local primary school than she did selling to middlemen.
This program has helped earn money to pay school fees for my two children. I've also bought 2 cows, something I never imagined before. Now I have a steady income.
Nkwate is part of the UN World Food Program's homegrown school feeding program. Since its pilot effort in 2012, the program has grown to support over 800,000 students and 35,000 farmers in 11 districts across the country.
It provides farmers with reliable markets for up to 200 school days annually, boosting incomes and resilience. And it promotes dietary diversity, offering school children meals with ingredients from Malawi's 6 food groups.
Donors supporting the initiative include Norway, the European Union, France, and Iceland. Students say the initiative is better than the previous feeding program, which had one fixed meal.
In the past, we were eating porridge made from soy flour only. But now, with the coming of this homegrown initiative, we are eating porridge from maize flour, potatoes cooked with ground nut flour, rice and pumpkins, and sometimes potatoes mixed with vegetables.
The World Food Program says the initiative has helped increase daily school attendance from 77% to 92% and reduce health-related absenteeism by 11%. However, some schools like Nyachenda Primary School in Nsanje District, the challenge is delays in supplies.
We use the smallholder farmers that lack a lot of resources, and because of that, the food comes to our school maybe with 2 or 3 days late.
World Food Program says it is addressing the challenge, sourcing food from farmers in cooperatives around the schools. The farmers say the initiative has helped them earn enough money to construct houses, while for students, it promises a healthier and a brighter future. Lamek Masina, VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Thank you, Lamek, for that report straight from Malawi. Back to our main topic, Zimbabwe and the rest of the world commemorated 16 days of activism against gender-based violence from November 25th to this Monday by having various awareness programs aimed at reducing incidents of gender-based violence. The government says it decentralized its campaign to the rural areas this year in order to also get the word out to rural women who are often marginalized. Commenting on the issue of gender-based violence, a young lady, Ms. Mabel Jamu, a student at the Midland State University, had this to say to Studio 7 reporter Tobias Muzingwa early this week.
Saka vanurume vanoshungurudzwa asi kuti vazoende kuti vanotaura nyaya dzavo azvitauri nenyaya kuti kuda kuburitsa hubaba hurume huya hwaitaura kunzi nekuti uri murume unofanira kushinga saka varume kazhinji ndipo vanopedzisira vangochemera mukati tichitarisa nzvimbo dzakafanana sekumapurisa hongu zviri kubatsira kuderedza asi ningatave nichiti uri munhu wechirume waenda kunomhanara nyaya yakadai kazhinji pari kubva pabuda pfungwa dzekuti endai munotaurirana kana kuti pakati penyu panoda counseling nhaurirano yekuti mumboonesana kuti zviri kufamba sei zvasiyana nekunge munhukadzi aenda kunomhanara nyaya yake inotongwa nemo nemo asi kukaenda munhurume ndikuona sekunge pari kuita dambudziko nyaya yeGBV tinokwanisa kuikunda chaningatokurudzire ndevekuti pakati pedu ngapave nerudo kutodanana cheko nekuti pane rudo hapana mhirishonga ende pane mhirizhonga hapana rudo sangati vanhu vanogona kugarisana nekuti mhirizhonga kazhinji unogona kuzobuda mhirizhonga kunyanya kune vechidiki mhirizhonga ikunyanya kutibata pane yatinoti technology facilitated violence mhirizhonga yekuti tinokwanisa kutumirana mipikicha pamafoni apa kutaura mashoko akaipa pamusoro pemumwe munhu saka tikava nerudo handingakwanisi kuburitsa kana kusumura mumwe wangu nekuti tava nerudo pakati pedu
Uyo anga ari mumwe mudzimai wechidiki muzvare Mabel Jamu vanodzidza ivo ku Midland State University vachitaura nemutapi wedu wenhau Tobias Mudzingwa vari ikoko. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see. We seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube. You can go to VOA Zimbabwe. Now to discuss our topic on 16 days of activism against gender-based violence and some of the causes and fixes, we are joined via Skype by economic analyst Chennai Mutambasere, based in the United Kingdom. We also have the chairperson of the Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe, Ms. Cynthia Makamuri, in Harare, and also the director of the Female Students Trust in Zimbabwe, Evanice Munando, in Harare. Welcome to the program, women, but I will start off with you, Ms. Mutambasere. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Loveness. Thank you for having me. Good evening to your viewers.
Thank you so much. Ms. Mutambasere, some women rights groups and women themselves have been blaming the deteriorating economy as one of the main causes of gender-based violence. What is your view? Where does the economy take any precedence in what we're seeing in the increase of gender-based violence?
Certainly, the economy is a key determinant. I believe there's a positive correlation between the number of gender-based violence cases with regards to what is happening in the economy. So you might find that for women who are undergoing economic hardships that are in an abusive relationship tend to stay in that relationship because they'll be thinking, if I leave, then how will I feed myself? How will I feed my family? And so even this, we are seeing that this is even extends to the idea of children and young women, even of school-going age, being affected as well by gender-based violence, whether directly or indirectly. And the reason how they end up staying in these situations is because of the economic hardships. So there's definitely a positive correlation between poor economic policy and how women, as the marginalized group especially, are impacted by gender-based violence. You know, because even in terms of property ownership, women are the least likely to actually own any assets. So in a situation that is abusive, it's very difficult for them to move away. And that lack of access to property also means that they become vulnerable. So the person that is looking, taking care of them, whether it's a partner, an intimate partner, a husband, or even their father figure, or even an uncle, can take advantage of them for the very reason that they do not have access to enable themselves in terms of economic well-being.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Please stay on the line. I'll come to you, Ms. Mukamuri. You work with the women's rights groups in the country. What are the major challenges causing gender-based violence from your findings, and how can these be addressed?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
The major causes of gender-based violence in the country from our perspective, from the Women's Coalition, with our diversity, is that we tend to see that poverty is the key driver of gender-based violence, and especially when the home does not have adequate resources, that makes that home not habitable enough, especially this year, 2024, with the El Nino-induced drought. Most households are food insecure, and as such, so much has been happening, and we've been recording very high incidences of gender-based violence. So we attribute that to poverty as the key driver. Is the gender-based violence comes in various forms. In my view, from what we have seen throughout our work as a coalition, we see that most households that have food insecurity normally are the ones where we see children being married off, some girl children actually dropping off from school because the resources have been withdrawn or not available altogether. We also see that there's a lot of promiscuity or sex work that also happens. And in the end, that also comes back to the family, where we find that there's a lot of infidelity, which is also happening. So in the end, when injustices are few, we tend to see that there's an increase in gender-based violence.
Thank you so much. Please stay on the line. Ndombo yakwa muri Ms. Munando, imi munoshanda nevanasikana vanyanya vari kuzvikoro. Makaonawo zvakamira sei panyaya iyo yekushungurudzwa kwemwanasikana panguva iyi manga muri kuwanikwa muchicherechedza chirongwa che 16 days of activism against gender-based violence.
Ndinotenda regai ndicherechedze zvataurwa nevabva mukutaura vose. Maringe nezvenyaya yemhirizhonga iri kuitika muno muZimbabwe takanangana nechirongwa che 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Asi regai nditi isusu kumatertial institutions kunyangwe mayoung women vatanga tichishanda navo, timu yedu yegore rino taibata zvakadaro ichinzi Unite to End Violence against Women and Girls. Asi isusu tanyanya kurerekera kunyaya yecorruption takatarisa nyaya yegender-based violence. Hati kutiyo pachirungu, extortion, kukitika kuma institution bufaya leni. Shiri kutika leze kuti ya wanawedu, shiri kutika nila pa admission chaiti. Kwa wanigu watisha gazimbu paya, pane mirishunga hiri kutika hikuti atanga wandi pabonde, kuti wane njimbo, mashort kata hiri kutika ipapo, hiri kubata wana wasikana. Yaba ipapo ni yaza accommodation, kuti wane mpe kugara, washiziza wali pa makori chakase ya nasiana. Accommodation hiri shoma. Saka pakutunotoi wana wanonzi majanitors vaya wanowana vachiita mhirizhongo kuwanawo kuti accommodation inototengeswa mufunge nebonde vana vachishungurudzika nekuti vanenge vari desperate kuti vawane pekugara. Tabva ipapo pane nyaya dzemagrades kuti upate chaiko, kana ukasada lecturer unofoiriswa. Saka vana vedu vari kuenda apo vadesperate, kunyange tiri kudzidzira zvakanyanya kuti mhirizhonga iyo inonzi sexual harassment, extortion nekutenga magrades nezvebonde ngaipere kumainstitutions yedu. Yabva ipapo vari kumaattachment vari kutsvaga vari kuita inonzi work related learning, vari kusangana nedambudziko remhirizhonga iyo yegender-based violence, nekuti kwavanenge vanonoshanda kuya kuyaya futi zvakare yekuti mamwe makambani mazhinji tiri kuona havana zvikwanisiro zvakakwana zvekupa vanonzi mastudents ari paattachment, zvakaita semari dzemabhazi nemari dzekudyawo nelanchi nedzepekugara, nekuti vamwe mastudents anogona kuwana attachment kuna wayo iye achigara kuHarare. Saka zviri kumanikidza vana kuti vasvike pakuzomhirizhongwa nevakuru vemakambani vazhinji sei vakaita sevarume. Saka nyaya yeikonomi iyoyi yambotaurwa iri kubata kwese, nekuti even pano kuchiribhadhira maschool fees vana vedu vanobva vazowanikawa kumhirizhongwa neyatinoti mablesa. Takwati mablesa ndo vanhu vanovapa mari vachiti aiwa tiri kubhadhira fees nekutsengera zvose zvaunoda, iye mwana achimhirizhongwa achimhirizhongwa nebonde. Saka sextortion ndiyo takabatana nevamwe maorganizations anoshanda nevana vasikana neivava zvakare Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe, nekuti tiri memba yavo. Saka tichikwanisa kutoenda kumakoreji akasiyana siyana tichiita maprogramu iwayo. Takanga tichiri kubhindura musi uno uno tichitaura nezvenyaya iyo nemastudenti, kuti mastudenti kana mhirizhonga yakadai yakaita secorruption iri kunyanya kumainstitutions nenyaya dzekuti masimba akasiyana pastudenti nalecturer, nekuti kutongonza kuti ndilecturer simba ratowanda kudhara can hardly negotiate ipapo. Saka ndo zvataka tiri kusangana nazvo
Before I move over from you, are you working in any way with any government organizations when it comes to the issue of gender-based violence, and also you mentioned corruption at higher institutions?
Yes, we are working very closely with the government through the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission and Transparent International Zimbabwe. We've been doing a lot of programs in terms of raising awareness on corruption and be able to also conscientize the students to speak out. And we are happy that Zach has also come down to really engage with us as their student organizations. And we've been having some discussion, some dialogue with other key stakeholders like the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission and the Zimbabwe Gender Commission. We're coming together this 16 days of activism, talking about this corruption, and also we commemorated the Anti-Corruption Day on the 9th of December, where we're saying, let's unite and involve youth in ending corruption in Zimbabwe. And the scheme itself, I think it spoke to the integrity of the youth. So we are also communitizing our youth to exercise integrity whenever they face corruption. So with Zach, I think they've also established a committee in our tertiary institutions that looks into the corruption, be it with the students and also other students affairs department, so that this corruption can be spoken about and also can be talked about and also can be reported using those committees. So it's something that we've started, and I'm also really looking forward that it's going to really help in terms of ending or reducing corruption in our teacher institution.
Thank you so much. Coming back to you, Ms. Mutambasere, tombota ora nerurimi rwamai, kuti muchitarisa ini budget rakaturwa regore rinouya navantu nincube, pane here zvavaigona kugadzirisa kuti tizoona mataura imi kuti nyaya yeupfumi hwenyika inowanikwa ichipindira panyaya idzodzi dzekuti mhirizhonga iwande, nyanya takatarira madzimai, pane here zvavaikwanisa kunge vakaita mubudgeti?
Ndinoona kuti budget ratakaona raiko zvino iri harina kunge rakagadzirira kuti vakadzi kunyanya vangabatsirikana sei. Nokuti tinoti takatarisa nyaya dzavo dzetax dzavakaisa vachiti ivo tax kunyanya kumainformal sectors. Tinoziva kuti uku ndiko kunowanikwa vakadzi vachitengesa zvavanenge vachitengesa, asi kana vakaramba vachivaomesera, izvo zvinoita kutiwo vasawana mari yakakwana. Varambe vachigara mumasituations senganga achibva kutaurwa kuti wedza inyaya yekuti uri kushaya mari dzeschool fees kana kuti uri amai uri kuedza kuti uwanewo peruviri kuti uchengete vana vako. So checks ndakaona kunge yakanyorerekera avo vekumainformal sector. Zvakare takatarisa even panyaya dzekuti dzeaccess to finance. Iyi mari yekuti vanhu vanogona kungoenda vachikwereta vachibatsireka kana kuti vatange mabhizinesi. Asi handina kuona zvakanyanya muna 2025 zvatingatarisira kuti zvinoreva kuti vakadzi vachange vachiwanawo access to finance kuti vagokwanisawo kuti vawane rusununguko panyaya dzemari dzeupfumi. Takatarisa 2024 taiona ivo kuti pavaitaura kuti vanhu vakaaccessa maloans vakadzi were less than 10% samwe chete nevechidiki, zvichiratidzira kuti zvinhu zvirimo mainstruments arimo munyika panyaya dzeaccess to capital, panyaya dzekuti unokwanisa here kuwana mari yekuti utangewo business rako, utangewo zvimwe zvinoita kuti uwane financial independence, uwane upfumi, so that haurambi uchidzokera musituation yekuti uri kumbunyikidzwa. Izvi takaona kuti hazvina kumira zvakanaka muna 2024. Zvakare takatarisa 2025 hatina kuona kuti panenge pakagadziriswa ipapo.
Thank you so much. Please stay on the line. Ms. Mukamuri, you just said there what Ms. Mutambasere just said. What's your view moving forward? What can be done to help close this gap and also to reduce the gender-based violence in the country?
Thank you very much. So to reduce gender-based violence in the country, we also try to address some of the concerns that cause gender-based violence. First of all, there is a need to have the Domestic Violence Council to work. There is a council that was established in Zimbabwe, the Gender-Based Domestic Violence Council. It's no longer functional, so we wish to see it functioning. And we also wish to see that those perpetrators get the minimum monetary sentences for gender-based violence, and also the prosecutor general not to allow women to withdraw cases that they would have reported. Women have a lot of pressure that comes from the family when they go to report gender-based violence. Probably the person that they've reported to is their husband, who is also the breadwinner. So oftentimes you see that because of poverty, the woman then goes to withdraw the case, or pressure mounts on her to withdraw the case because the family won't want their relative to be imprisoned. We also wish to see that the police, everyone, all to work together in a multi-sectoral approach where the victims or survivors report this gender-based violence through the victim-friendly unit, who then ensure that prosecution through to judiciary happens as quickly as possible, and not even to allow bail to come for the people to go or out on bail. The reason being, we seem to see that there's a lot of backlog in our court cases to an extent whereby the perpetrators are given bail, and then they go back to the community, they mingle again with their victims. So in so doing, it then discourages women from reporting. So we wish to see that the gender-based violence cases be processed and prosecuted with speed and ensure that there is no bail. That way it will make us quite happy. We also want to see that even the government increase accommodation at tertiary institutions. You heard the other speaker speaking about accommodation as a crisis in most of our tertiary institutions. So we need the subsidized accommodation. We need also the loan to also come back. During our time when we need to go to college, we need to actually get allowances that are coming through the government. So if they introduce that, perhaps it can reduce our girl child from her vulnerability, oftentimes to adult male who normally abuse them. And because the girl child is coming from a situation where she's then succumbed to the violence, to be violated, because she also needs to survive. Mm-hmm. We need to work everyone from their own point of view to ensure that all of us put our hands on the deck to end it.
Thank you so much, and I'll come to you, Ms. Munando. You're the last guest. Give us your views on what you think can be done to reduce the issue of gender-based violence. You spoke about female students that you work with.
Well, as a follow-up from what I've already said, I think what we also discovered in terms of sextortion and corruption, we've discovered that there's no a distinct law that deals with sexual harassment and sextortion in the country. So yesterday, as we were gathered the stakeholders, we agreed that the government should criminalize sextortion and sexual harassment,
mm-hmm.
by coming up with an act that can also criminalize this case. So above all, I think the issues are around the economy. I don't know how the government can prioritize the students.
Thank you.
I feel that the students are the backbone of the development of the national development in the country. So maybe by coming up with programs that capacitate our students financially,
yes,
that they are able to sustain themselves when it comes to school fees, when it comes to accommodation, when it comes to the things that they require every day. So we feel that the need for collective action in terms of really looking into the welfare of students.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. We have to thank our guest, economic analyst Chennai Mutambasere, based in the United Kingdom, the chairperson of the Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe, Cynthia Mukamuri in Harare, and the director of the Female Students Union Trust, Ms. Evanice Munando in Harare. And thank you, ladies, for joining us for this very interesting topic. And, also we'd like to thank all those that are streaming with us, all those that had put in their numbers for us to call you. We'll keep trying your numbers as we come to the end of this program. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mplananyahuye.